We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download the app and use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Monday. We are 3 days away from the season opener. That's David Ross days, Cesar Tourist days. Who else am I missing? Get on number threes, the Cubs. Cesar Tourist, Ryan Terrio briefly. I think was a number three for a short period of time. No, he was 2-7, I think. Anyways, definitely Cesar Asturias and David Ross is a player. Welcome to the show, Luke Stuckmeyer, Cody Delmendo, Ryan Herrera, closing in on opening day. We do, right out of the gate, want to remind you about our big pregame party coming up before the season opener in Wrigleyville. From 11 to 12, we're going to do a live show at the country club, at Country Club Bar. That's 3462 North Clark. You can go ahead and go to allchgo.com. Make sure you sign up for it. All you have to do is RSVP and it's free. Okay. What that includes is merch giveaways, hang out with us, hang out with other diehards, drink deals, food deals. And you get to see the show be live and be part of it that way. So we're going to be out in Wrigleyville on opening day. Hope to see you out there. Also, don't forget to sign up to be a diehard before the season starts, because that's the way you guarantee that you will be able to read all of Ryan's articles throughout the season as he covers the team, as well as Jared Willis. Some of them, of course, more of them than last season, are brought out from behind the paywall. But if you want to read everything, everything CHGO Sports, diehard's the way to do it. Plus, you get the discounts when we have takeovers. You get always a discount on the merch at the All CHGO store. And you get also special merchandise just for diehards there, as well as the card, which if you throw it down in Wrigleyville, probably counts for something. I'm just saying. Jeremy Burnitz was number three. Thank you, Neil. I appreciate that.
Neil. All right, Neil.
Daniel Descalso.
Coordinator. Oh, don't say that name. Don't say that name. Not that guy. I'm gonna stand up for Corey and Brendan here. Not Daniel Descalso.
Eric Patterson was also number three.
Eric Patterson, yeah. As Shane is saying, he RSVP'd saying hi, then back in line with the rest of the bums. We'll stay a little while, you know. And by the way, I don't see him here yet, but hashtag Mike Dubs. Shout out to Mike Dubs and Gerard for the $50 super chat in the last couple of weeks.
Gerard.
Do we know 40, what day we're on?
47. 47 for Gerard. For Gerard, and it has to be like 41.
Yeah, probably 41 for Mike Dubs. There he is. What up, chat?
I've lost count. But if we have to mention Mike Dubs until the end of April or mid-May, like whatever, we're going to do it anyway because he's in the chat every day.
Yep.
We're just going to say shout out to Mike Dubs through April is the way we'll do it. We'll I don't know how many days that is, but that's what we're going to do. It may not be exactly 50.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
40 days, Dubs says. so we had some news since we did our last live podcast. First, we have the Wes Neske news, which we will dive into. And today, David Ross in Arizona said that although Javier Assad did not win the fifth starter role, which went to Hayden Wes Neske, Assad will be in the bullpen to start season. So that not totally surprising because he was so good for Team Mexico. Barb is saying, please don't bury the lead. We did not. Wes Neske is the fifth starter. We're getting to that. Yeah. The newest thing that happened is that the ass man is in the bullpen. Yeah. Javier Assad will start with the team,
the ass man,
at Wrigley Field on day one.
I'm telling you, if the ass man shoves, if he shoves for 3 months and we don't have a t-shirt that has a license plate that says the ass man on it and just CHGO Cub theme, I might riot to the people in Denver. Cause like this guy is a vibe. I've become a big fan of the glasses look. Big fan. On top of the fact that he throws mid to upper 90s fastball. So I'm excited about Assad. Obviously, we're all excited about Wes Neske. So a lot of really good vibes going into opening day, especially after yesterday's game, on top of this news and other news that's came out. So I'm excited.
Ryan, which one is more surprising? Not recently, because I think we saw both of them coming down the stretch, but going when you headed out to Arizona, which would you have said was more surprising to you, that Assad would start with the team in the bullpen or that Wes Neske would win that fifth starter spot based on the fact that Sampson was pretty good at the end of last year?
Yeah, I think the more surprising one is Assad. Number one, the fact that he's in the bullpen. I mean, at the beginning of spring, we kind of talked about, like, if he doesn't win that fifth starter role, keep him in the minors, you know, make sure he's on that starter schedule because that's where your depth is, right? But now not only is he on the opening day roster, but he's on the opening day roster in the bullpen, which, yes, that's the biggest surprise for me. Wes Neske is a little bit of a surprise if we look back 6 weeks ago. I mean, it's insane how quick things change, right? Like, if we look back and said, if there's going to be one guy that makes the roster, it's going to be Sampson. And Wes Neske and Assad may start the season in AAA, starter depth, whatever. Now both those guys are on the big league roster. Wes Neske in the rotation, and Sampson doesn't even make it past like the last weekend before opening day before he's optioned to AAA, right? It's a surprise. I think the bigger surprise was Assad. Wes Neske is somewhat of a surprise too. If I'm talking about this 6 weeks ago. But it just shows you how quickly things, especially when there's a roster competition in spring training, it just shows you, yes, spring games don't ultimately matter that much, but when it comes down to who's going to get this last spot somewhere, they do. And Sampson struggling the first however many times he went out there really kind of sealed the deal for Wes Neske and Assad.
Yeah, and I think we also said about Wes Neske, I guess if you go back to last season with Wes Neske, we all would have thought this guy's going to be part of the rotation next year. But when you go out and sign Tyone and you bring back Smiley, even with Hendricks hurt, you started running out of spots in the rotation because you weren't sure who was going to fill that out. And then going into camp, we saw, okay, it's Wes Neske, it's Assad, it's Sampson. There's going to be a race or a competition for that fifth starter spot. And as you laid it out, because Sampson had been good and the other guys have more options and were younger guys, we thought it would take something special, right? Something special or unique for Wes Neske and Assad to make the team right out of the gate. That's what happened. They were both special. Sampson was not, so he's in AAA now. He's with the minor league team. And the other two guys were not just, you know, nice spring or pretty good spring. They were both special. Assad was with Team Mexico, special, came back, had a nice outing here. And then you look at Wes Neske, I don't know how you could ask more from a guy. The comments from him were really neat too, that he basically didn't say anything when David Ross told him. He was just sort of overwhelmed, sat there, soaked it in. I think when we talked to him back at Cubs convention, he admitted that while he wanted to be on the team, he had told his family and friends, like, you may not want to hear this, but it's not guaranteed that I make this opening day roster once they had signed Tyone. And so he knew he was in a competition, and he started competing the second he got there. And he said every day was a competition in his mind. Well, if that's what it takes to get him to pitch like that on a regular basis, we just now hope that that carries from spring training and Cactus League action into the regular season. I think a big season's ahead for him. That's what I think. I don't know if it's going to carry. I can't guarantee it's going to carry over. But having seen what we saw last season and then him being able to carry that into this competition, which he didn't shy away from, yeah. I like the way the signs are pointing for Hayden Wesneski.
Get your NL Rookie of the Year bets in now, baby. Because
I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to say it. Yeah.
They're only going down from here. I mean, yeah, I'm freaking stoked, dude. I know I was an Adrian Sampson defender. That doesn't mean that I didn't want to see Wesneski in the rotation opening day, though. He did exactly what we asked. Like, open our eyes, dude. That slider is something else. It's something else. And the swag and the confidence, you can like feel it when he's out there. It's I'm not saying he's in line to be an ace one day. I just think he can be a very, very good starter. And the fact that you got him for Scott Efros, man, like, it's just nice to win a trade. I'm so tired of being told about all the trades we've lost. It's just nice to win a trade. At this point, I don't even care what he does in terms of winning that trade. The Cubs have already won the trade. Already won it because he's already been better than, hell, I think we all expected to begin with. So, yeah, my tempered expectations are he's a rookie, so he's probably going to have ups and he's probably going to have downs. But you're hoping that it all kind of evens out and he's pitching his best later in the year. And if he is, then I think the Cubs are – playing meaningful games. So it's just really exciting to see the Cubs have an arm like this. I haven't been this excited about a pitcher except for Caleb Killian last year, which there's still a lot of hope for him. But outside of him, like, I haven't been excited about a guy like Wesneski in a really long time. So I read the chat. I read the stuff on Twitter. Like, he might be the most like eyes, like must see TV to start the year for the Cubs as far as a pitcher, because people want to see, can he keep doing what he was doing in September? Because despite how much the Cubs were out of it and no one really cared about wins and losses, he caught people's attention at the end of last year, and now we get to see if he can keep it going to start the year. And I think if he is productive, man, this team can go way over the 77 win total mark that Vegas has the Cubs at.
We have our big season preview show coming on Wednesday, right before the opener. And we'll make some of those picks, and maybe a Hayden Wesneski does show up on some of the lists for Rookie of the Year. I'm not predicting. I'm just saying it's a possibility. I'm excited about both.
There's nothing wrong with the sprinkle, Luke. There's
no, and
wrong.
I think Cody, I think you're right that, expectations and maybe like excitement level over seeing one pitcher. Yeah, I think people are optimistic about what Tyone can bring and how much better he could even be in this Cubs rotation, working with the Cubs system and coaches and stuff. I agree. I'm interested about that. I'm interested in seeing if Steele can take the next step. But just from a pure vibes thing right now, it's Wesneski because of the spring that he had, and number two in line would be Assad because of the, you know, time he spent on Team Mexico. So I would say it's both those guys. Now Barb is saying, hey, they lost. She thinks they lost the Kimbrel deal, but they won the Efros. I'll be honest with you. They won both. Why do I say that? What's Kimbrel? Like, you weren't using them anyways. Like,
what did he do for the White Sox?
The word's still out.
You know, it's like getting rid of a suitcase that you didn't want. Like, who cares if you get a bucket of rocks back for a suitcase that you were going to give to Goodwill? You don't lose. You don't lose that deal. And I still think that at the very least, they're going to get a really good reliever out of Cody Hoyer. I don't know what Madrigal's going to be, but I think there's a chance they still get something very valuable back out of that. The Efros deal looks great on paper because you gave away a nice bullpen piece that was under control for a guy who has high upside as a young starter. Mm-hmm. And his, you mentioned his slider. Ryan, I know you probably saw this, that it was Marcus Stroman even went to Wesneski mm-hmm. in the last week or so and was like, hey, man, how do you mm-hmm. throw that slider? So you know it's Wesneski when the guy who's pitching for you on opening day, a veteran pitcher, is going to him and asking him, like, hey, any tips on how you do that?
Yeah, no, that just goes to show, yeah, of course, Hayden Wesneski's slider is great. And that, as far as I know, there's the discourse about his fastball, maybe wanting to tick that up a little bit, but like having a wipeout slider like that, like ones that makes major league hitters look foolish, that's such a good baseline for Wesneski. Like, you feel good about that. If the fastball plays up a little bit more, like, there's all these different things that could make him a really, really good pitcher. It's not 100% consistent yet. I think he talked about hitting 97, his last outing. Talked to reporters in Mesa. Not that he's hitting that consistently, but like, if he can get to like 95, 96 ish consistently, then you're talking about a pretty solid fastball to pair with a slider that makes guys look foolish. And that's when you talk about Wesneski's ceiling, like, that's the way he can develop the rest of his pitches outside of the slider is going to be what really helps him kind of reach what his ceiling could be. Marcus Stroman, a guy who's very, has a track record. He's a veteran starter in the big leagues, former All-Star. And he's going and asking a guy who's pitched six games in the major leagues how he throws a slider, right? Like, that, one, that tells you how good Wesneski's stuff is, but two, it also tells you like how this rotation is full of guys who, whether they have very little time in the major leagues or have been playing in the major leagues for 10 plus years, like, they're all going to be learning from each other. And, the slider, the sweeper slider has been such a big topic of discussion. Wesneski throws it really well. And if there are pitchers in that rotation, like established big league pitchers that also want to start learning how to throw a little bit better of a slider, well, they can go ask, they're not scared to go ask a rookie like Wesneski how he does it, right? And that, I think that tells you, one, how the clubhouse is gelling, but two, just how all these guys can learn different things from each other, because they're all different pitchers, really. Like, none of them are really that similar of pitchers. They can all learn from each other, and I think that's a very good part of how this rotation is built.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't want to go, I see Nate's pushing back on the Kimbrel trade, and some people are saying it's a wash. Is Kimbrel he's one of the best relievers of all time. Okay. He's a good pitcher, but for the Cubs specifically, he was good for a half a season. And you were going to try to lose games for the next 2 years. So you didn't need Craig Kimbrel. So I get that maybe the value that you think you're getting back maybe isn't worthy of what he was good for you for a half a season. It wasn't like you'd had an all-star closer on your team for 3 years. He's at the end of his career. So the fact that you could be getting your future closer in Cody Hoyer, just because he's hurt, doesn't mean that the deal is a bust. The guy's coming back from Tommy John surgery. You don't know what you have there yet, but you assume he's going to be close to what he was and that there's great potential there. So even if it was just, honestly, if it was Hoyer for Kimbrel straight up, I'd still be okay with the deal. And maybe that's the way it ends up working. I don't want to get too off the Wesneski thing. That's who I'm excited about. As for the other decisions we're now waiting for, Cody, we're looking at now, all right, who's going to fill out the final roster spots, right? And I've seen Mastroboni in the lineup a lot the last couple of days.
Open my eyes a little bit, to be honest.
Yeah, is that bad news for McKinstry?
Perhaps.
I kind of think Morel might end up at AAA.
Yeah. I mean, my gut feeling says that Mastroboni and Morel are leaning more to make the roster than McKinstry right now, but I just don't know how the Cubs view McKinstry at this point. One of them's going to have to be demoted, and Morel's been hitting lately, the last few days. And Mastroboni, I mean, they've been playing him all over the place, even the outfield a little bit. So at least I think.
Yeah, he can literally play almost everything. He gives really
good versatility. They gave up a pretty like high ceiling reliever, at least according to the Cubs prospect guys that, you know, we've had on the show and stuff. A lot of them have said that. So the Cubs were clearly pretty high on Mastroboni. Maybe we haven't talked about him enough. Maybe we did this last year with certain guys too. And like, maybe we're doing that with Mastroboni. I don't know, but he has opened my eyes a little bit in the last few spring training games that I have watched. And so, yeah, I think McKentry right now looks like the odd man out, but he is a left-handed bat. And you know how this team doesn't, you know, last year they didn't have a lot of left-handed bats. And you know how David Ross likes to play matchups. And I think Mastroboni is a lefty as well. So maybe that doesn't mean too much in the grand scheme, but I think the fact that he's lefty might benefit him in terms of making the roster. But right now I would say he's the odd man out. It's tough. It's a tough situation. All I think when I think about right field, like, I mean, the Cubs literally paid a guy $180 million to play right field because he was great defensively. And so, you know, Morel, I know he wasn't the greatest center fielder, but he's definitely an athlete. If you need a guy to play right field for a couple weeks until Seiya Suzuki comes back, I think I can live with that for 2 weeks. So I don't really know Mastroboni as far as like athleticism and how well he plays right field off the top of my head or anything like that. But just based off what I've seen with the eyes, I feel like Morel feels like the safer option just from a pure defensive outlook without looking at advanced stats. Any of that. I know Ryan's looking at me like, what are you fucking talking about? I'm just saying, I feel like that at least makes some sense. I know a lot of people think I don't have any original thoughts. I was told that this weekend. I'm giving you an original thought. I feel like Morel could play right field for 2 weeks. Sorry.
I looked at you like that because you said from a defensive standpoint, he wasn't very good defensively. I think
that's, I know, but if you're asking me who I want to play right field until Seiya Suzuki comes back, which at this point looks like could be like 2 weeks. Like, I mean, Mancini's like defensive numbers in the outfield aren't exactly astonishing either. Like, who's the better the better athlete at least that could go out there and be serviceable?
McKinstry's
out of options, right?
McKinstry's out of options.
Yeah,
it's just overall, it's going to be weird to see because with the news that Seiya, you know, the reports out of Mesa that Seiya may, that, you know, the oblique isn't going to affect him or keep him on the shelf as long as we have initially thought. Like a mid-April feels realistic now. So you're saying 2 weeks, like Cody just said. Last week when we thought it was longer, we were talking about, you know, like Mike Tauchman getting put on the 40-man, playing right field or whatever. Now you're looking at it like if it's mid-April or sooner, he did already get optioned at AAA, so that's, you know, or he got reassigned to minor league camp, so that's done. But now you're looking at a bunch of guys who they probably don't want to waste a 40-man spot or move a guy off the 40-man just to get some guy up for what could be like 10, 15 games. I think right now the Cubs want to keep as much positional flexibility as they can, which leads me to still lean that McKinstry may make the team, but he hasn't been very good.
No,
this spring, that's
way to put it.
That's one thing. He hasn't performed like they'd hoped, or even how he hoped to, like, you know, set himself in the opening day roster. Like that's not a certainty anymore. Not that it ever was, but it's definitely far away from you can say, okay, he's a lock to make the roster in 3 days, right? You don't know that for sure anymore with McKinstry. So that may be, if they want to bring someone up, that may be what you have to do is you know, DFA McKinstry, you know, let him go or hope he clears waivers and, you know, whatever that is. So now, I mean, you got Mastroboni, who I think is more of an infielder but can play those spots in the outfield. If you're going to open up a 40-man spot, like Ben DeLuzio might be someone that finds his way up. Like, it's just a very wide open. It's crazy that we're 3 days away from opening day and it still feels as wide open as it has since Suzuki went down, right? Like, we really don't know who's going to get that right field spot. I could see Morel. I could definitely see Morel picking up that right field spot. However, they do want to, you know, have him play every day. Like, it makes sense to want him to play every day, and he has spent very little time in AAA. Does he get that assignment to start out, see if he can lower that strikeout rate? I mean, he's been hitting the ball well when he's hit it, but he's still been striking out a decent amount too. So
yeah,
that this are all concerns. Like, everyone comes with concerns, right? Like, there's pros and cons for every option they can make. I mean, Patrick Wisdom could play right field if it's for like 10 games, right? Like, there's all these different options they have. So I don't know which way the Cubs are leaning. I don't know how they want to go about this. Like, for right now, again, it's crazy that we're 3 days out and we still don't really know. This is the most interesting part of the of what's going to happen between now and Thursday. It's just seeing who are they going to pick up to play right field for what could be 2 weeks, right? That's the most intriguing roster battle left, in my opinion.
I've liked what I've seen from Boney Beef the last couple games that I watched, where he was getting up there and hitting, but I don't know if it's enough for him to make the roster. Like Ryan said, McKinstry thing, because he's out of options, would they just leave him there? It's probably the easy thing to do, but I think most fans agree that they would like to see the team break with the best players that give them the best chance of winning games, because every game is going to matter if you're going to have any shot at winning the division or making one of the wild card spots. You don't want to just give away games in April because you were afraid to play somebody that you thought was going to mix up your 40 man because they're at the bottom of the roster. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see the best players out there for opening day. If that's Master Boney, fine. If it's McKinstry, fine. If it's Morel, okay. Do it then. Put Morel out there, and if he struggles, then you send him back down to the minors later. But it is interesting to see how this is going to really shake out in the next couple of days before the Cubs get there. And yes, Delmetrics are a very fickle thing. Delmetrics, you never know if the Delmetrics are going to lean one way or another, although generally they don't lean towards St. Louis. That's all I'm saying.
As big of Michael Collada to use Delmetrics, I appreciate it.
Older people are coming around, like I have, to Delmetrics sometimes, you know, like
Kevin, we don't want to nice with all the light.
Analytics, but we finally found one in Delmetrics where we can kind of look at it and say, well, I have some of the same feelings. I rank things similar to Delmetrics, so maybe it's the happy medium to other analytics.
Yeah.
Maybe Delmetrics are what I should be going by.
Right. Nice of Kevin to give. Out. Nice of Kevin to give everyone a nice little hint to what we're talking about later in the show there. Sports Time 16, he's getting my attention by putting my name in caps and then asking why don't the Cubs start Brandon Davis in right field to start the year? And I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, the guy, they sent him to AAA or optioned him to AAA weeks ago, and they definitely want to see him get more at bats. He is the guy that I like, man. If he would have really would have shined in the Arizona Fall League, I think, and you know, maybe did more in the spring of the time that they gave him, maybe, but I don't think we're going to see him for at least a month or two with the Cubs. But it would have been like an easy guy to just insert in there if he was healthy last year. So,
all right, we're going to continue our position rankings, where the Cubs rank in the NL Central. Today we're going to be doing the outfield. That's coming up in just a second. We'll go start in left field, work our way over to right. But first, the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve save money and energy. ComEd offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities, whether it's lighting, HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. They can be done in person or virtually, last about 2 hours. Then within 3 to 4 weeks, customers get a report detailing energy efficiency projects they can start working on right away. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, cost savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple payback. So don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips or to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz. If you're ready to sign up for that facility assessment, call them at 1-855-433-2700 during normal business hours. You can also email businessee@comed.com or request your assessment online on their website, comed.com/facility assessment. And because we are just 3 days away from opening day, the season opener for the Cubs, we know that a lot of people that are going to do fantasy baseball this year are cranking up those drafts right now. So this is critical information for those people, but also for people like Cody Delmendo, who like to wager on a little baseball activity before the season as well. Get your latest fantasy baseball news from RotoWire, a pioneer in fantasy sports over the last 25 plus years. Cheat sheets, customer player rankings to fit all leagues, rotisserie points, 10 category, 30 category. Let their experts analyze all the wild baseball stats for you. WRC plus, barrel rate, sleepers, prospects, hard hit rate, etc. Mock drafts galore. You can use the Ask the Expert function. Premium fantasy draft kits, custom start sit, add drop, trade advice, lineup optimizers, all those things you'll need for a successful team this season. But you also get access to fantasy, DFS, and sports betting articles. I was just reading one they had in there talking about the major league win totals and also their favorite bets going into the season. So if you're thinking about, okay, who do I want to wager on leading the National League in home runs? I told you last year it was going to be Kyle Schwarber. I didn't listen to myself, but maybe RotoWire was giving you the advice. Multiple people doing it. Now it sticks in your head. So great advice if you're looking to make some money going into the season and throughout the season. They can help your bank account by wagering, or they can help your fantasy team, which also could help your bank account depending on how you do it. And not just baseball either. Fantasy advice on everything from golf, soccer, NASCAR, XFL. And for a limited time, RotoWire is offering a free two-day trial just in time for opening day. Just go to RotoWire.com/CHGO to register. No commitments. They're so confident that you will like their product and want to invest in a subscription plan, they don't want to even ask for a credit card up front. So you get to take a peek behind the paywall. Then when that trial, two-day trial is done, then you can decide if a RotoWire package is right for you. Sounds like really sound advice heading into what is going to be an exciting baseball season again, 3 days away.
If you are a degenerate gambler like Cody, those articles are going to come in handy.
Yes. Perhaps. I know Cody's probably made him at a few prop bets already. I can see that he's probably been picking those apart the last couple of days. Because how many of the final four teams did you have, Cody?
Zero. In my bracket, at least.
Ditto. Me too.
However, I did bet San Diego State live as a +175 underdog, and they won outright. Oh, and I've been taking San Diego State unders. They're like 12-0 on the under their last 12 games. I'm going to bet the under on the first final four game I think it's Saturday. Give me the under, San Diego State. I just did a DraftKings ad without being asked to. You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, you get another one of those coming up later. All right. So we're giving our rankings at each position for the Cubs and how they rank or rate in the NL Central. And we started over at first. We worked our way around the infield. We did catcher. Now we're in the outfield today. We're going to do left, center, and right. And so far, the trend we've seen is that the Cubs, compared to our rankings last year, have moved up a little bit. They're creeping up the rankings at positions. You know, they made some improvements at first. They're better at second. They're better at short. So we've seen the improvements. Now, when you look at left field, I think there's only one way to rank it, and that is Ian Happ at the top. So I don't remember where Happ was in our preseason rankings last year, but he's the all-star, guys. You know, he's an all-star left fielder. He has the highest WAR, according to Baseball Reference, out of all the outfielders. He's got the most home runs of any left fielder in the division, switch hitter. We don't know if he's going to be on the team all year. We hope he's going to be on the team all year, but I think he's clearly the class of left field. We know Yelich had a special season once. Might have been because of banging trash cans. We don't know. But all I know is last year, Ian Happ was the best left fielder in this division. And that's the way I rank it going into the season. What do you think about 1 through 5? Happ, Yelich, O'Neill, Connor Joe and Jake Fraley.
Well, I think Tyler O'Neill's his potential is, I mean, it's all based off if he can stay on the field, but also the Cardinals can easily just throw Jordan Walker there and he could be the best outfielder in the division by the end of the year. I hate saying it. We're not looking at Dell metrics right now. So, I mean, if O'Neill is healthy, I think he goes above Yelich because Yelich hasn't hit 30 plus bombs in like 3-4 years now. So yeah, I'm okay with Ian Happ at the top as far as like, what have you done for me lately? If you look at the entire body of work, I guess you'd put a Yelich at the top. That disgusts me to say. Again, we're not saying this in Dell metrics. I'd probably go Yelich and then O'Neill and then Happ if we're talking about the full body of work. But of course, like I said, if this is about right for what have you done for me lately. Yeah. I did think Fraley has a decent ceiling too. We talked about him a little bit last week. And I remember playing the Rockies when the Cubs were the Rockies last year. Connor Joe was, he was a decent hitter. We'll see what he does the Pirates, but yeah, they're fine there. Whatever.
I mean, we're not saying who's had the best major league career.
Right.
You know, Happ went from a guy we were wondering if he was going to be on the team last year to an all-star. Like, he had this great rise last year. So am I saying that's the way it's going to end up at the end of this year? No, because we don't have the extension unless that news comes in the next 3 days. We don't know if Happ's even going to finish the season on the Cubs. But God, we're talking about we're in the going vibes. Into this season, who has the best case scenario in left field? It's clearly the Cubs. I know that Yelich was a little bit better last year than he had been. You know, somebody in the chat pointed out, you know, when he picked on Yu Darvish, then he tanked. His career went into the toilet, and he was better last year than he was the previous season, but he wasn't as good as Ian Happ. You can't tell me he was a better left fielder than Ian Happ last year. It just didn't happen. Yeah. And well, healthy O'Neill. Yeah. We'll stay healthy. Mm-hmm. And then you got a shot to be that type of player.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with everything you guys have said. Like, if you're coming off an all-star year, like you're the only all-star in the bunch, like you probably deserve to be that number one spot going into the year. I mean, Happ proved last year that he could put together a full, complete year, consistent year. You'd like to see him do it again, but coming off last year, like he had the best year out of all of them. And, you know, Yelich probably has the highest ceiling of them all. I mean, we've seen him play at an MVP level before, but he hasn't been that in a few years. So that's, like you guys said, like, what have you done for me lately kind of thing. Like, he hasn't been better than Ian Happ. He wasn't better than Ian Happ last year. Tyler O'Neill probably could be better than Happ too, but he was hurt for a lot of last year, right? But he's put together, I think his 2021 was really, really good. So you know he can do. I mean, there's those three guys. I like Connor Joe myself. I think Connor Joe is just the hair. I mean, I covered him once when I did a Rockies game. Fun guy to talk to. He was like a Rockies folk hero for a little bit there. And I think he's a good dude. I don't think he's better than those top three. And who is it? Jake Fraley was the Reds left fielder. Kind of in the same boat, like fine players, but Happ, O'Neill and Yelich are at the top. And, you know, how we rank them, I think, is good. But that could, I mean, that top three can flip around so quickly once the season begins.
Now, this is one of the few times, though, when Dell metrics and actual rankings match up with Happ at the very top. However, Dell metrics has Christian Yelich at the very bottom, and that's just the fact of the matter. Everyone says it's like Cardinals bias. No, so Christian Yelich, he's number five in Dell metrics for left field ranking. All right, this guy, I can't wait to yell at this guy on Saturday. This is what I live for. If there's anything, whether the Cubs are good or not, I live for sitting in left field and yelling at Christian Yelich. It's my favorite thing to do.
He did not retire, Barb. He is still with the Brewers. Nobody will take that contract, and so he is still in left field for the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, it's interesting because whether it was the decision between the two guys, you know, we go back to the Schwarber-Happ thing in left field. If Schwarber were on the team, he'd still be. If it was Schwarber instead of Happ, the Cubs would still be leading in left field. So I think left field is a strength. Could that left fielder be Brendan Davis, as Niren and some people in the chat have been suggesting. Yes, the should Hap be traded at the end of the season if he doesn't have an extension is a completely different argument or conversation than is Hap the best left fielder in the division going into the season. He is absolutely, unquestionably the best left fielder in the division going into the season. I can't say if he's going to be on the team. I can't say if it's the right decision to give him the extension because I don't know what the numbers are. I don't know what type of number he's looking for. Niren saying the young guys are ready to play. We've also said, yes. So if Brendan Davis is the future in left field or one of the other guys ends up being the future in left and they're ready to go and they can take that spot, that's okay. If you can get Ian Happ to agree to a deal that is affordable, Ian Happ as a potential fourth outfielder or a rotating guy with some of these young guys until they earn that spot, that's a great scenario too. I realize you'd get something for him, but I don't want to just write off Ian Happ because I think there's a scenario where he could still be part of the next great Cubs team. I don't know if it's likely, but I think there's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting whenever Jed Hoyer talks next because you know he's going to get the question. And everyone knows the quote about how he doesn't want to go into, you know, regular season with, you know, bad blood related to contracts and stuff. And they've said that, you know, this they'll have some like written up response. But I don't know, the longer it goes, the less likely I feel like it's going to happen. And maybe that's just recency bias, man. And it's a shame. I know people want to trade him and some people want to keep him. I genuinely couldn't tell you. But I will say that his situation is completely different comparatively to any of the other guys that have moved on. And, you know, Contreras, Baez, Rizzo, Bryant, it's completely different because the Cubs are now in a position where they're trying to win. They're not selling guys to get prospects. At least they shouldn't be. Not with the way this roster's built, with the guys that they got coming up. We're sitting here getting excited about Wesneski. No, this team is not selling at the deadline. I refuse to believe it. Refuse.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But, Ryan, I would say that best case scenario for the Cubs is that Ian Happ has another all-star season. Like, has another great first half of the season. Why do I say that? Because even if they choose the trade route and Brendan Davis or somebody pushes from the minor league level, then if Happ they can't agree to an extension, then Happ becomes even more a more valuable trade piece at the end. So either he becomes very valuable to you as a trade and you get something back you need for the organization and he gets what he wants moving forward, or he's your everyday left fielder because he's been so good. Either one's okay. What you don't want is a bad first half for Ian Happ.
Yeah. No, if there's one guy I'm looking at as a barometer of what the season is for the Cubs overall, it's Ian Happ because I think his future is honestly tied a lot to what the Cubs do, like how good the Cubs are this season. I think everyone's talking about trading Happ at the deadline if the Cubs are contending, and it's just hard for me to see that being the likely scenario. Like if the Cubs are in a position to win the division and Ian Happ is having another all-star type season, it's so hard to sit here and say the Cubs should trade him. It is because if the Cubs are seriously interested in competing, I get that they have good outfield prospects, but you have an all-star left fielder versus guys that aren't necessarily ready to be everyday starters at, you know, this season. We don't know what Brendan Davis is going to be because he missed all of last season, right? Like we don't know what he's going to be at this year. Could he be up by the summer? And I mean, it's just one big, that decision is too difficult for me to say, like, if the Cubs are good, they should still trade Ian Happ. I can't say that's what I would do. If they're bad and he's having a good all-star season, then it makes more sense, right? If the Cubs are out of it pretty much by the trade deadline and Happ is putting together another good season, then I see the Cubs, you know, shopping him, seeing what they could get for him. That makes way more sense than the Cubs being, you know, above 500 in that division race. And then, oh, you know, we're still going to trade Ian Happ. I just can't see it. I can't see it. And that's not, I know that's not what the chat mostly wants. Everyone's talking about the outfield prospects, but you have a really good outfielder in his prime. It's tough for me to say that they should still trade him.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry to interrupt, Ryan. Is Big Dave in the chat? Is that the Big Dave?
I was looking
somebody
at that
named
too.
Big Dave with our Big Dave's photo. I put on my readers to get a look at the tiny little picture on my screen.
It is. Big
says,
Dave's in the chat.
Not signing a hap. They didn't do it for the other 50 guys. Why start now? Has Big Dave like, joined the Cubs?
It looks like Sports Time 16 just changed his name and profile picture to Big Dave.
Big Dave okay. says, yes, sir. I don't know how to confirm whether or not this is Big Dave.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
I don't think it's Big Dave.
I don't think it's Big Dave either. No.
All right.
Thank you, Ryan, for confirming.
Sorry, Ryan. Should we go to center field? Because we were talking about Christian Yelich, and yes, he's reached the highest peak of any of those left fielders. The same could be said in center field for Cody Bellinger, which it's not the same path, but it's a similar path. It's a guy who was the MVP and then has struggled a little bit. So for that reason, I say Brian Reynolds is the class of center field right now. That doesn't mean Cody Bellinger couldn't get there. It's why I have Bellinger ahead of Carlson, that he's been there. You know, here's a guy that was rookie of the year. Here's a guy who's a multi-time all-star. Here's a guy who's been the best player in the entire league, National League MVP. So that's why I like Cody Bellinger as the second best center fielder. But I think if you look at the numbers and WAR and the stats and probably even the Delmetrics, Brian Reynolds, a guy that wants to be traded, is probably the best center fielder. But I do believe when you go through this list, Reynolds, Bellinger, Carlson, Mitchell, Senzel, you also see that once again, the Cubs have improved their team in center field. I'm not saying Cody Bellinger is going to be an MVP, but if you look at what even he did last year in another down year, 1.2 WAR, 19 homers. Okay, you get power and you get pretty good defense and a guy that could also play first base. That's better than Velasquez or who else was out in center field a lot last year?
Morel and Ortega.
Ortega, that's the name I was looking at. Is it better than Ortega? Yes, the Cubs have gained ground on the division again this offseason. And they should because they spent like $300 million. But if we're trying to make our preseason predictions, I see the Cubs improving and gaining ground, maybe not on one specific team like the Cardinals, but on the whole division, yes, absolutely, they've gained ground.
Yeah. I mean, you look at that list and there's just a lot of like high ceiling guys. Like Garrett Mitchell is one of the highest prospects for the Brewers. He could easily be at the top by the end of the year. Dylan Carlson. Well, the Cardinals, they decided that they didn't want to trade for Juan Soto because they value Dylan Carlson so much. So they clearly see, good things from him or things that they like about him. Senzel was a highly talented prospect, top 10 draft pick, I believe. Don't let the facts get in the way of the good story if I'm wrong about that. And then obviously Brian Reynolds, he's been the more consistent of all of them as far as like, what have you done for me lately? So I'm fine with this list. If we're going to look at regular rankings, because we know Delmetrics is not this.
But I know. Oh yeah. There's Delmetrics.
There you go. See, Dylan Carlson is at the bottom in Delmetrics. It's not like, listen, I tweeted this earlier. Vibes. If you suck at vibes, you're going to be at the bottom. This guy sucks at vibes. There you go.
I know Niren is a guy that was waiting to see this list probably because he's always angry about the Cubs drafts. He doesn't like the way the Cubs have drafted. And Mitchell's a guy that was taken 20th in 2020. And already here he is ready to burst on the scene. And the Brewers are handing him the keys. He had a little cup of coffee last year, but like Cody said, Ryan, like he's highly thought of in their organization.
Yeah, I mean, he came up last year at some point. I mean, he's a big time prospect for him in that outfield. So Garrett Mitchell could be pretty good. We don't know that for sure. I mean, he's a rookie, right? Like we don't know for sure exactly what he's going to be. I know his wife is famous on TikTok. Higley Cruz, if anyone knows who that is. She's a very famous TikToker that used to play Oregon softball, I want to say.
Another talker? Oh. Who's the other one that's got the TikToker wife or girlfriend? Cody gets mad every time he sees he's an outfielder.
Cole Tucker. No, he's engaged to Vanessa Hudgens. He's no longer with the Pirates.
Don't get me started about Cole freaking Tucker.
I think he's a Rocky now, I want to say.
He is a Rocky, yes. Mitchell's wife, you said, or his girlfriend?
Yes, his
engaged.
Wife.
Engaged.
No, they're married.
Did they get married?
They're married now?
Like 99% sure.
Oh, yeah. I remember asking for thoughts and prayers after it happened.
and she's a talker, huh? She's a
so that immediately puts Garrett Mitchell at number four. This center field overall, I think I've been seeing stuff that Brian Reynolds may play a lot more left field than center field this season, which surprised me. I think he's a really good center fielder. He may not even stick with the Pirates the entire year too. He's also, you know, he's been in trade rumors at least last year, if not the last 2 years, right? But if he's a center fielder, I think he's the best center field option that this division has. He's been very good the last couple of years. Bellinger's a big what if. You don't know for sure. Big what if, though. I mean, Carlson, I've seen with Jordan Walker making the Cardinals opening day roster, I believe, that he may be left field and Tyler O'Neill might move over to center field. So that's another, big what if, and a roster shuffling like that could – Tyler O'Neill could leap to the top of the center field rankings. Who knows, right? But I think Bellinger, I think from what we have on that list, I think Bellinger at number two is a good fit because he brings very good defense and a bat that we know has high upside. He's swung the bat decently well, I think, this spring. I think he hit a home run yesterday or maybe Saturday, whatever day it was. He swung the bat pretty well. It's spring training. You want to see that. Obviously convert to regular season when they're playing in cold April to start off the season. But if he can bring a little, 110 WRC plus, right? Like a little bit above league average mixed with his good defense, I think you have a really solid center fielder in Cody Bellinger, you never know. He may not even finish the season with the Cubs, right? Like I think the center field in this division is one that's really kind of like a flexible, fluid position because the Cubs have Cody Bellinger set at center. The rest of the teams don't seem to have that center field set, right? Cody Bellinger could end up being the top center fielder in this division. He could end up being like number three, like depending on where things start when the season begins in a couple of days. I don't know, but I like the way we have it ranked and the players we have right now. I like the setup. I think Cody Bellinger fits right there at number two.
Yeah, I mean, Bellinger is like, he's the ultimate X factor for this team, right?
Yeah.
Like, if he's good, then the Cubs are going to be good because that's the offense that, it's the big question that we're talking about. He's going to be in the middle of the lineup, somewhere between 3 and 6. And, yeah, you're asking for him to just be a productive player. So I'm cautiously optimistic about it. It's been very hard to have tempered expectations for Cody Bellinger. Very, very hard, especially after he hit the homer yesterday. So,
yeah, he has the highest upside of any player on the Cubs. That's obviously pretty easy to see because he was an MVP. And, I think Niren said they need a bat teams fear. Right now the Cubs don't have any bat that teams fear. That doesn't mean they don't have good bats. Nico Horner's a good bat. Dansby Swanson can be a good bat. Seiya Suzuki can be a good bat. But are they the type of bat that teams are afraid of? Maybe if you have enough of them that can be dangerous when you pack them together, but it's not like somebody that's got 50 home runs in there that you just know instantly you're going to pitch around. So I get what he's saying there. The chat is totally off the rails right now.
Thanks to us talking about Vanessa Hudgens.
I mean, Vanessa Hudgens, I didn't say she was a talker. I know she's some sort of Disney actress or singer or
she's
something.
She's famous for High School Musical. Shout out to the millennials that watched.
I knew that. I couldn't pick her out of a lineup, but I knew that. I knew she wasn't a TikToker. And as far as Logan Paul podcast, I don't even know what that means. Who is Logan Paul?
I don't want to explain to you who Logan Paul is and why he's most notoriously famous. I can't do it to you.
That would take a whole other
podcast. It would take another 20 minutes.
Well, I tell you where we go then. We go right to Ryan telling us about how to get ready for opening day, especially if you're going to Wrigley Field. You're going to want a warm hoodie.
Yeah, if you're going to Wrigley Field, what's it look like, 50 and cloudy or something? So it might be a little bit chilly. You might need to go head over to FOCO and see what they got for you. Chicago, you've already got the best coverage for your favorite teams. So go get fitted out in the best sports gear around. FOCO's got you covered from Soldier Field to the living room, north or south side, with hoodies, slippers, signs, bobbleheads, and everything in between. Get decked out like DeMar with apparel from the leader in sports merch and collectibles, FOCO. Looking for the perfect gift for the football fan in your life? FOCO's got you covered with hoodies to fight that Lake Michigan breeze. Check out FOCO.com or click the link in the description below. For all non-presale items, use the promo code CHGO for 10% off.
Guys, we were talking about it earlier a little bit, unintentionally, DraftKings Sportsbook. I mean, I'm taking the under on San Diego State and whoever the hell they're playing. I already forgot who they're playing because I'm just going to take the under. 12-0 in their last 12 games on the under. I love a good trend like that. So DraftKings Sportsbook's the official betting partner of CHGO and All City. We got the no sweat same game parlays for the NBA right now. The Bulls are hot. I might finally go back to betting something related to a Bulls game again. Maybe not, because then if I do, then they'll make me mad again and they will suck again. So I don't know. Tread lightly. You know, MLB bets, I keep saying I already bet the Cubs to make the playoffs. I bet the Cubs to win the division because I'm just a broken human being. You could be Michael Claude and bet against them if you want to. So yeah. And then again, like I said, you got the rest of March Madness, Final Four this weekend. And then finally, I will stop talking about college basketball. So download the app now and sign up with code CHGO. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly, only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
A couple quick things from the chat. Logan Paul is the boxer guy. The guy that's been
dying. Wrestler.
He got famous because of, he was a YouTuber. That's why he's famous.
He's the coward that's been dodging my buddy Kendall Gill from a boxing match for the last like 3 years. Kendall's been on the internet.
That's Jake Paul. That's his brother.
Oh, that's Jake Paul. Yeah, that's his brother.
Well, yeah, he's a fraud, that guy. He's a coward. He's afraid of Kendall.
Barbara says, I seem like a nice fellow, and you're absolutely right.
I saw that. And then she said they need
questionable.
They need a Stucky bobblehead day at Wrigley. You already missed out on that one, Barb. There it is.
Oh.
There it is. Wow. You missed out. That's one of one right there. You could buy that online for me for $300. I'm selling everything. Jordans and the bobblehead for a combo of $600. It's a deal. If you're out there, Colada, maybe you're the guy. I don't know. All right, let's move over to right field. We got just a couple minutes left. And we already talked about Saya, but I believe Saya is the class of right field still. There's some interesting names in there. Tyrone Taylor, Lars Nootbaar, Andrew McCutchen, Will Myers. Now, McCutchen's been around a long time. But when I went through the rankings for right field and I looked at it, what was crazy is that if you're taking it from Baseball Reference, and I know some people don't like that. Corey specifically.
Yeah.
You have three guys at the top of that list who are almost the exact same war. Saya, 2.0 war last year. Taylor, 2.1. Nootbaar, 2.1. And then the other two guys are 1.2 and 1.2. Very similar players, all within right field in one division. Saya, though, put up that 2.0 war with his 14 homers. By the way, that's the other thing. It goes 14 homers, 17 homers, 14 homers, 17 homers. But Saya put that up with a big injury season and his first season in America. Mm-hmm. If we can get him past, apparently he played defense in a minor league game yesterday, I believe. If it's only 2 weeks and it's not going to cut too much into his season, which, again, I don't love the idea of him rushing back and playing in 40-degree Wrigley Field with an oblique. But if and when he's healthy and it's only like 2 weeks of the season, I don't know how you couldn't put Seiya Suzuki at the top of that list in right field, because we all think he could have a much bigger season this year.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I think we were just doing like our player evaluations like in the middle of the off season, and you made that graphic where you like hid the stats for each one. One was Saya and the other was Ronald Acuña.
Yes.
And me and Ryan were both mind blown.
Same guy.
I was mind blown a little bit. And I'm not saying that Suzuki is Ronald Acuña. I know Ronald Acuña was coming off injury last year, blah, 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 blah. But say Suzuki, you know, if he had been able to stay on the field a little bit more last year, his numbers would have been better too. So I think the key for say Suzuki to be, you know, to increase that war and potentially be an all-star is once he comes back in mid-April, he's got to stay on the field. I mean, the Cubs' success is like, there's so much riding on the Cubs' success with him. It just is. So they need him to become a bigger power threat, no doubt, but he's got a great you know, approach. He doesn't swing at bad pitches. The amount of strikeouts that guy had because the umpire sucked is off the charts, and those umpires should be sent to jail. Seriously. And as far as the rest of them, fine. I mean, whatever. I don't know. I know Cardinal fans would think Lars Nubar is better than all of them because everyone in that city loves Lars Nubar. I still don't know if Lars Nubar is a real person. Delmetric says that he shouldn't even be on the list, but I was nice to just put him on the list. How big of me to do that? I mean, shit, you read the name Lars Nubar and you just think that's a creative player on MLB The Show. Big of me to put him on the list. Big of me.
I can't say he's better than Saya, knowing what Saya went through last season.
I agree.
I think Tyrone Taylor might be a little high on the list. I'm just gonna say that.
He was a killer last year, though. I'll give him that much.
maybe that's the bias on the list. Is like Tyrone Taylor kills the Cubs, so you think he's the.
I think Will Myers above Andrew McCutchen too at this point.
I think Suzuki is pretty easily the top right fielder. If those are the five, you know, on opening day starting, I think he's pretty clear. Well, he's not going to start on opening day, but if he were, Saya would be the top right field option in this division. I think that's pretty clear. The rest of them, you know, Nubar is probably above Taylor. Will Myers probably above McCutchen. I mean, it's a little bit of a crapshoot down at the bottom, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like McCutchen's not the star he once was. You know, Will Myers isn't at Suzuki's level. Tyrone Taylor, again, I said, I think it's a little bit too high. But just all in all, I think as far as ranking right fielders, Saya is, when he's healthy and playing, so mid-April potentially, he's the best right fielder of the bunch.
And to a Nubar, I always prefer a Twix or a Kit Kat. Let's be honest. and the sea salt and the nougat are the best part of the Nubar. But it's not enough to put it above a Twix. It's not enough to put it above a Milky Way. It's not enough to put it over a Three Musketeers. Any of those. A whatchamacallit. It's way down the list.
Shout out to Brent in the chat. He says, you're an admirable human being, Cody. So he one-upped what Barb said about Ryan. So
I disagree.
Feels good to be at the top again.
Now Big Dave's calling me Urkel.
What's this? Chat's been on fire today. I love this.
What kind of Urkel was a stud? Let's be honest. All right, tomorrow we do starting pitchers
and the other form of himself. Yeah.
What's that?
I said, especially when he took the glasses off and became the other form of himself.
That's right.
That guy was a vibe.
Starting pitchers and bullpen tomorrow. Season preview comes on Wednesday. Don't forget, make sure you go to allchjoe.com to sign up for the pregame party at Country Club. That's on Clark. 3462, I believe, is the address. North Clark. Mm-hmm. 11 to 12 is the pregame show. Drink deals, food deals. It's free. You just have to RSVP. There's going to be merch giveaways. We're going to have all kinds of fun stuff. You get to hang out, watch a live show. Make sure you join us for that. If you can't make that, make sure you at least join us tomorrow, 1:20, live here.
We'll still have the YouTube chat for Thursday too, though, right?
Yeah, there's still be a YouTube chat, I believe.
Yeah. So,
and then we'll have post extended post game after the game as well. So, but you can, you know, see who we pick for who you got day one. You're going to want to be part of that. Like, you don't want to miss out on season two of who you got.
I mean, now that Luke is the commissioner, we need the chat to hold Luke accountable. because he is on a mission, an at like Mission Impossible type mission to win who you got. Because when Esteban Quiroz was traded for cash consideration, my God, was he just, he was just completely beat up.
Still the greatest pick in any who you got ever was Esteban Quiroz. A three pointer. Nobody's ever hit a three pointer. The pointer doesn't even exist.
I remember there was one. I think, I don't forget who I picked, had an awesome day, but then Joey had picked Yan Gomes and you guys gave it to him because like, oh, Yan Gomes didn't expect him to do all this. I'm like, my guy just hit like three home runs. What are you talking about?
And he had a three home run game. I don't remember what it was,
but I remember my guy had an awesome game and gave it to Yan Gomes.
I look forward to the 10 minutes of bickering and post games.
Oh yeah.
We still need to get the whiteboard. We get an actual whiteboard to keep track of.
Okay. Yeah. All right, I gotta go.
Plug for those of you that aren't diehards, make sure you're diehards because CHGO Bears has their happy hour tomorrow, 8 p.m. Mm. So you want to go talk to the Bears guys, Nick, Carm, Braggs, Hogue, all the guys, better become a diehard, sign up, and then click that link tomorrow, 8 p.m. for a Bears happy hour.
Also, you're doing the mailbag, aren't you?
I'm doing a mailbag. If you're in Discord,
for diehards only, right?
Discord for diehards only. If you're in Discord, make sure you. There's still time to send in a question if you got it. So make sure you get those in. If you're get in the Discord, sign up to be a diehard, do all that, and send me a question.
All right. Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download the app. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. We will see you back here 120 live. For the next edition on Tuesday. See you then. Until then, fly the W.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.